A reading from Isaiah. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness, from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Let's pray as we ask God's blessing on his word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is a light to our path and a lamp to our feet. Thank you that through your word, we know the truth and we know the path that we should take. Bless this word to us this morning. May we be nourished and strengthened for our walk ahead in this coming week through this word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that I really enjoy about the Advent season is the lighting of the Advent candles and the words that go along with that each week. It's just a real joy to have that as a part of our worship times each Sunday during Advent. So thank you to Maria for getting the materials organized and for those who are willing to come forward and light the candles for us then. Last Sunday we heard that Advent is a time of hope. And perhaps the text that I chose should have been better preached last Sunday instead of this Sunday, because it's a message of hope, and that's certainly an important part of the Advent season. But hope doesn't have to just be for one Sunday, and certainly we can continue focusing our joy and our happiness and our walk with God through the word of Isaiah. This passage from Isaiah is a powerful passage. It's very familiar and very uplifting and has really a lot of wonderful things to say to us. Probably most made famous by Frederick Handel and the Isaiah, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the Messiah. So probably as you heard Adam read, you were thinking that that same language, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Alleluia, Alleluia. That's certainly a key part of this text this morning then. Advent is not only a time for hope, but it's a time for joy. Isaiah celebrates the joy that comes as a result of the birth of our Savior. The joy that comes through the light that is coming in the midst of our darkness then. Verse 1 of our text celebrates joy. There'll be no more gloom for those who were in distress. And gloom is the opposite of joy. That gloom will disappear, Isaiah promises. That sense of despair and anguish will no longer be a part of our experience because of the coming of Christ then. We're thinking of hope. I wanted to think for a minute about that whole concept of hope. When you think about the coming of Christmas, what are you hoping for at Christmas? Hoping for a lot of nice presents? Hoping for a fun time with family and friends? Hoping for nice meals that you can enjoy? If you were to describe the best Christmas ever, what would that look like? What would be the best Christmas you could ever imagine, the best Christmas you could ever have? What would it look like then? We often use the word hope to mean a wish or a dream or blind and shallow optimism. I might say to you, I hope I win the lottery, but my chances of doing so are about 1 in 1,000,000. Then that's kind of blind optimism when I say I hope I win the lottery. I could say, well, I hope you have a safe trip home in spite of the snow, but there's no guarantee, is there? You might have a car accident on the way home. Your car might break down. You might slide in the ditch in the snow. And there's no guarantee, no absolute assurance, even though I might say, well, I hope. There's no hope that this will be the best Christmas ever. There's no guarantee that this will be the best Christmas ever. I can say, well, I hope it will be. But what I mean is I'm wishfully thinking that then. But the kind of hope that Isaiah speaks of here in Isaiah chapter 9 is an assurance hope, a guarantee, a promise that it will absolutely, without question, without any reservation, actually come true. This hope, this joy that Isaiah describes is an absolute assurance, a thing that we can count on. It's a guarantee. It's an absolute. It will happen. As we listen to Isaiah's words this morning, we can discover that hoping for Christmas is not wishful thinking or false optimism, but instead that absolute assurance that it will happen. Isaiah is so confident that these promises contained in his prophecy are about to happen and will come true because he uses verbs that are expressed in so what's happening right now. It's already happened. He's so sure and so confident that these wonderful promises contained in this text will be a part of our experience that he can say, it will happen. It is happening. It's here now. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. It's here. It's happened already. And Isaiah was prophesying 750 years before any of these events happened, before we see in the New Testament the promises fulfilled in Jesus. Then, but Isaiah says, it's going to happen. We can count on it. We can be sure that this will be fulfilled. When Isaiah speaks of hope, he compares it to light. Light that shines in the darkness, he says, like a beautiful sunrise following a dark night. You've been camping in the woods on a dark, starless night. You know the importance and the value of having a flashlight or a candle, or some light to show you the way. And then Pat and I have enjoyed doing luminary walks out at Monk Gardens back in the last couple of months. And we went Friday night to another one. Luminary walk, if you've never done one, is just you walk along this path that's lighted by little votive candles along the way. And then I was thinking about that as I was reflecting on what Isaiah says here about the light that has come then. The light that has come shines in the darkness like those candles showing us the way on the path that we're to walk on our luminary walk then. Like the flashlight when we need when we were camping and get up and have to use the bathroom in the middle of the night and it's dark out and there aren't any lights. Nice to have a flashlight or a candle or a lantern to show us the way. Without that light, we would be lost. Without that light, we would stumble and fall. We certainly think about that when we do our luminary walks out at the gardens then. It's fun, but a little scary, a little precarious. Well, you know, I don't know what the footing is exactly like here. And when we went Friday night, the paths were kind of frozen. There was a little ice on the path then. So we kind of... We're a little of sensitive to the fact that it might be a bit precarious. Good thing they have those lights along the path then. We'd be lost. We wouldn't be able to find our way, and we might stumble and fall in the darkness then. So we really appreciate when we get back to the at the end of the trail where the bonfires are lighted and the welcome lights are on. Then what a great relief when we get closer to those candle bonfires burning at the end of the trail. Isaiah reminds us that we can only appreciate the light when we understand the darkness. People who walk in darkness have seen a great light. For the people who Isaiah was originally writing to, his original audience, this was a fearful time for these people. The political situation was pretty bleak. The nation of Judah was feeling pressure from all the nations around them. They were afraid that they might be attacked by more powerful nations. And that would mean slavery, end of their freedoms, possibly even death. So King Ahaz and his people are trembling. They go, what's the future hold for us? What's it going to be like? Can we sustain? Can we maintain our independence as a nation? Can we survive the onslaught of these more powerful nations surrounding us than these cruel and oppressive nations that are about to come over and take us captive, make us their slaves, perhaps even kill us? For the people of Judah, Isaiah's audience, the sense of gloom prevailed. The sense of darkness was all around them. While the specific circumstances that Isaiah alludes to are unique to his people, we also, as Pastor Tony mentioned earlier, live in a dark time. Then, how can we expect to have the best Christmas ever when the pain doesn't go away? How can I expect to have the best Christmas ever when I'm still grieving the loss of my spouse? How can I expect to have the best Christmas ever when I know that my kids are making some wrong choices or living in dangerous and harmful situations? How can I find hope and joy when my marriage is falling apart? But it's through this promised light that Isaiah speaks of that joy comes. Joy in the circumstances, joy that brings hope, an assurance of deep confidence. That's what joy is. Joy is this sense of deep confidence, complete assurance that everything is right with the world. And Isaiah says it's like seeing joy at a bountiful harvest. Or it's like the satisfaction that comes at the end of a military victory when I get to plunder the resources of that nation that I've conquered. Then maybe it's like watching my tomatoes actually come ripe in this fall. Maybe it's like the joy of watching the Packers beat the Bears. Then that's joy, but that's happiness, but it's not joy. Joy goes deeper than that. Joy means even the Packers lose to the Bears, even if my tomatoes get the blight and don't ripen, I can still find joy. I can still find that sense of peace and satisfaction that is part of life. Then light is more than temporary relief. Life is lasting and deep joy. That's what light brings, that deep sense of satisfaction that all is right with the world. At this time of deep darkness for the people of Israel, for the people of Judah and King Ahaz, that Isaiah comes with a message of peace, with a message of joy. It's out of mercy and grace that God, through Isaiah, promises an answer to this hopelessness and despair that Judah was experiencing. This is totally a gift from God. Unto us a son is given. Unto us a child is born. It's a gift from God, not something we can earn. King Ahaz of Judah made the mistake of thinking, oh, I got to solve this problem myself. But all these enemies, all these nations around me are about to attack. I know what I'll do. I'll go over to this other nation over here and I'll make a treaty with them. And maybe they'll protect me when it looks like the Israel and Syria come up against me. I'll just call on him to help us out. I say, no, that's not the answer, King Ahaz. That's not the solution. Trying to fix it ourselves doesn't work. Trying to solve our own problems is not the answer, but instead it's a complete dependence on the son who was given, the child who was born. The promised light comes in the surprising gift of a child. If Judah and King Ahaz were expecting a powerful warrior or a great general, they'll be disappointed by this announcement. A child is coming, a son is given. What's this? How is this going to solve our problems then? But this is the way God works, isn't it? He comes in surprising and unexpected ways then. He comes in the quiet moments of our lives. He comes in humble and totally out of grace and love for us. He answers our needs and meets our issues. The New Testament reveals that this child who brings the light and hope is and the promise of joy is the Messiah, the Son of God, born in Bethlehem, whose birth we celebrate at Advent, we anticipate at Advent and celebrate at Christmas then. Isaiah details both the character of this one who will come and the accomplishments he will bring. It's through this one who is to come, this child who is born, and his accomplishments and his character that joy comes and hope will manifest itself. His name signify the kind of person he will be. His actions detail what he will achieve. The government will be upon his shoulders, Isaiah says. He accepts responsibility for rule. King of kings, Lord of lords, the absolute ruler. But he rules with justice and mercy, out of love and compassion, not out of spite, not out of what will it do for me, then, not how I can boss people around then, but out of consideration. Later, Isaiah will say, this one who reigns will reign in justice and righteousness then. What's right for all people? What's the right thing to do then? At last, there will be stability in government. At last, there will be a ruler who will provide, protect, and direct in ways that will meet our needs and enable us to be the kind of people that most are, that brings happiness and peace. This one who is to come is a wonderful counselor. He guides with divine insight and leads with insight that belongs to God himself. Then, calling him a wonderful counselor is an indication this one who is to come is God himself. Then, wonderful is a term described to God Almighty. This one who is to come is God himself then in the flesh. He guides with divine insight, leads with insight that belongs only to God himself. He rules with wisdom, not because he's such a smart individual, but because he is God himself. He is the everlasting Father. He adopts us into his family as his children and loves us with unconditional love. The result is a relationship that will never end, forever and ever. Everlasting Father is the name given to this one who is to come. As much as we wish and hope and would like to, we can't love our children unconditionally, and we can't guarantee that they will be our children forever. But Isaiah says this one who is to come, this light, this promised child, will be a father whose love is unconditional, whose relationship with his children is forever and lasts without, and it will never end. And at last, a reliable God who shows us the path to wholeness, an advisor who provides wisdom that brings fulfillment to our deepest longings. His presence brings an end to slavery. His presence brings an end to oppression and promises to destroy the enemies who would attack us and steal our joy. Whether it's circumstances of our lives, whether it's people around us, or whether it's the work of the devil in our lives, casting doubt and reminding us of our own sinfulness, these things can end. These things need not rob us of the joy that is promised us at Christmas, the joy that is promised us through the birth of this one who is to come as the light of the world. Isaiah calls this one who is to come the Prince of Peace. Peace is more than just the absence of war. Peace is shalom, that sense of wholeness, a Hebrew word that means total fulfillment of everything we were intended to be, complete satisfaction of all of our deepest needs. That's the kind of peace that this one who is to come promises us. But it's peace among nations, peace among individuals, the end of strife and warfare, the end of conflict where nationalistic goals result in armed conflict, the end of difficulties and disagreements and dissensions within marriage, within families, within or between neighbors. All that will be ended because of the one who is to come. This promise of peace, this promise will end all, will replace our fears and anxiety. Because he has the because he is the Prince of Peace, he has the power to accomplish this. So it becomes more than wishful thinking that this peace will come. It's a promise, because the one who is to come, this Prince of Peace, has the power and the ability to fulfill what he has promised. Then, out of desperation, the king decides he's going to try to solve his own problems. But Isaiah says this isn't the way. The path comes through faith and trust in the gift of God's true Son. Unto us a Son is given. Out of God's grace and mercy, he gives us Jesus. True hope and deep joy is a gift from God. And it's the zeal of the Lord God will accomplish it, Isaiah says. God's deep desire and God's immense ability will accomplish what he has promised us here in this text. Unto us a Son is given. Unto us a child is born. His deep desire to show love to his people and his ability to accomplish what he desires results in great joy and true hope. At Advent, we look to the past and celebrate that in his grace and mercy, God sent Jesus as his greatest gift to us. And for that, we give thanks. We give thanks for the great love that this gift demonstrates. We celebrate the present as a way of, we celebrate the present as we see the way God graces us with his presence and is already beginning to fulfill these promises that he has made to us when Jesus comes. And we look to the future when all these promises of peace and stability, shalom, joy, will be made even more evident when Jesus returns again at his second coming. Since these promises of a Son who brings light into his darkness are sure and secure, we can find joy through faith in him. We have not only the, and as a result, we'll find we don't only have the best Christmas ever, but the best life ever. Two key truths that I came away with from our Wednesday night programs, the videos with Ray Vandal on, that apply, I think, to what Isaiah is talking about here in the ninth chapter of his prophecy. First, Vandal says, God's Old Testament people were not wandering in the desert. God led them in the desert. Even the hard times of our life, even the difficult circumstances that we find, whether it's health concerns or worrying about COVID or whether it's financial insecurity, whatever, those situations are the result of God's leading. And because of through those things, God shapes our character and enables us to become more mature individuals. Second thing that applies to what we've been talking about here this morning is, as Vanderlyn says, God may not always make our ways smoother and easier. He may not bring a bulldozer and bulldoze a straight and easy and smooth path for us, but he does promise to give us feet like a deer. Psalm 18:33 says, he has given me feet like a deer to tread safely through those treacherous paths that we find ourselves in those difficult circumstances that our life brings. They may not disappear. They may not go away. But God promises that he will give us the ability and the security and the strength to be able to endure those and see that they are for our own good. They are for our benefit to enable us to grow and become more Christ-like. Through faith in the gift of his Son and trust in the work of his Holy Spirit in us, we can have the best Christmas ever. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Your word strengthens us and promises us, enables us to see your grace and truth in our lives. Thank you for the time that we can have this morning to reflect on your word and to listen to your voice as we hear you speak through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.